Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, did Nia Jax versus Charlotte Flair turn into a real shoot fight on Raw?
Raw delivers precisely zero of the three matches it promised last week.
WWE have announced six new signings, including Jimmy and Jey Uso's younger brother.
And more details on Sasha Banks' absence from WWE. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this... That's what happens when you apparently can't get on the same wavelength as someone else. Is the news.
Pardon me while I drop you on your head. Like what happened when Nia Jax and Charlotte Flair wrestled on last night's episode of Raw. So this was a deeply weird match. And, you know, in a match like this where Nia Jax, who's not the champion, pins Charlotte Flair, who is the champion, that's quite weird in itself, but it's not the big story coming out of this match. It's the way it broke down. Well, like a couple of minutes in, they went to the commercial, and when they came back, Nia hit a particularly nasty-looking spinebuster. There was a cover. Charlotte didn't even kick out at one. Just as soon as Nia got on top of her, she went, nah, screw this, I'm out of here. Came back in, there was a backdrop a minute or so later. It looked kind of stiff. Mm-hmm. Like Nia kind of let go a little bit early. It looked like Charlotte hit the deck. And after that, brother, it was pretty much a shoot. Or it looked like a shoot, you know. It was uncooperative. There was sandbagging going on. There were trades of strikes. They were slapping each other hard. There were other strikes. They were talking smack to each other throughout. There was one point where Charlotte like really awkwardly ran the ropes and then stopped and jumped on Nia's shoulders and then...
Like a reverse guillotine.
Yeah, and then like locked her shoulder and then they fell to the mat. It was a whole deal. They eventually recovered. I say recovered. The match was kind of derailed by that point.
Yeah,
but they eventually got back on script. Nia picked up the victory by a choke bomb, so you'd imagine more is going to come from these two. But my God, this was a weird match, wasn't it? You've probably seen the clip doing the rounds on social media. If you haven't, go and search Twitter for Nia and Charlotte. You'll find the video clear enough. But good grief, this was a weird match.
Yeah, I mean, I normally watch Raw sort of double speed early on a Tuesday morning because, God, imagine sitting through 3 hours of that. But even I, early on, were like, wow, these two aren't on the same page. And like you say, then it just devolved into that moment. I think the particular moment that I think of, because it's all well and good, like maybe slightly stiff moves and let people go. It's the bit where they just stop, look at each other, and then just slap each other really hard, basically. The whole show, as we'll get onto in a second, was very surreal. I guarantee you and I are going to be reporting on this tomorrow. That Vince McMahon came in and went, no, rip the script up half an hour before. Yeah. Let's rebook all the matches, as I'll talk about in a second. But again, a weird match to just have anyway.
Yeah.
Heel Nia Jax versus the heel champion. But then again, to segue beautifully into my first story, I suppose they were thinking, oh, fans are going to miss out on that. Because one of the matches we were promised this week on last week's show was a heel, Sheamus, versus a heel champion, Bobby Lashley. They didn't do that. They didn't do The Miz versus John Morrison. The Miz, conspicuous by his absence on Raw last night. They came very close to doing a Doudrop versus Eva Marie, but that just never happened. Eva Marie just got beaten up by Doudrop before the bell, which makes Doudrop another heel? I don't know. It was a mess, this show. Like, there were some great moments. Let's just say, very quickly, that US Championship triple threat match was absolutely great. And a clean finish amongst all that. And a really nice moment of Drew McIntyre sort of acknowledging Damian Priest, as we've been saying for months now, doing sensei. He's one of the few good stories in terms of transitioning from NXT to the main roster. Karrion Kross looks at that and goes, I wish I could have that.
Why am I like... Quang now? Yeah, it's weird.
But yeah, literally, me and Sige on Friday, because yesterday was a bank holiday, apologies for our absence, we recorded a preview. And normally I go, well, they haven't announced anything. Let's just make some bollocks up. But we were like, oh, they've announced three matches. There's some fallout from the storylines from last week. We can all talk about that. What actually happened is they didn't do any of those matches. They put two championship matches on just on a whim after a choo-choo promo train at the start of the show. And Alexa Bliss, who appeared to be lining herself up to be the Extreme Rules challenger for Charlotte Flair, was nowhere to be seen in Nia Jax pinned her. What's going on?
Yeah, this was very strange, wasn't it? Very, very strange indeed. They're really taking the whole card subject to change thing to the extreme. And, you know, the thing about the card subject to change disclaimer is that it technically gives WWE carte blanche to do whatever the hell they want, regardless of what they announce. But it shouldn't really be that way. I mean, this disclaimer was originally for unforeseen circumstances. Yeah. Now, maybe it'll come out that there were unforeseen circumstances and certain people couldn't make the show. But Sheamus and Bobby Lashley made the show.
They were there. Even Marie Doudrop, they were there.
Yeah, exactly. So Lord knows what's going on. And some of the things they decided to do with the people otherwise were just baffling. The triple threat was tremendous, don't get me wrong. But then you had John Morrison losing to Omos in 2 minutes, and it's like...
Way to set up his babyface run.
Yeah, exactly. Like, are you pushing this guy or what? Because that's not how you do it. If you want to have Omos squash someone, and they'll pick some random goober, have a local enhancement talent, have anyone.
Alberto Carrillo got squashed by Karrion Kross and no one cared.
Yeah, like, get Akira Tozawa in there. Like, who...
Well, he's dressed as a dog. You know, it was good stuff last night.
Here's a dog. Yeah, he was a bit busy. He was a bit busy, wasn't it? But yeah, really, really
chill. Shout out to R-Truth, actually. Why are you jumping over a gate? There's a handle on it. Was a very funny line. Yeah. I'll give him that.
He gets WWE style comedy, doesn't he? And he's going to be doing that for years and years. But yeah, weird show. Strange choices were made across the board. And what's my second story?
I have genuinely no idea.
Yeah. Speaking of strange, WWE hiring people. It's not that strange. WWE, new signings, right? Six of them. Six people. 2 second generation stars, right? The first one... is the son of Bull Buchanan.
B-cubed!
Yeah, there you go. B-cubed. Be free, fold home. His name is Ben Buchanan. He's 22 years old, 6'4", 250 pounds.
What attracted them to him?
I wonder. WWE, of course, announced these yesterday on their official website, which is where this comes from. Now, the second generation star is Seth Fatu, or Joseph Fatu, to give him his real name. He's 28 years old. He is the brother, the youngest brother of Jimmy and Jey Uso, which means, of course, he is the son of Rikishi. He's got a bit of indie experience like Buchanan. He's been wrestling for 2 or 3 years. He's worked for companies like GCW, a few others. But then we get into kind of like the non-indie wrestlers on here. We've got Bobby Stevenson, who's kind of another notable name. He's Gable Stevenson's brother. WWE, of course, have been heavily linked with Gable. He's another big lad, another young lad, so it's reflective of the new policy. Brady Booker is another one, 21 years old, 6'3", 245 pounds. And we got another one, Joshua Dawkins, whose uncle Daryl was an NBA player. He's been trained by Devon Dudley. There's one more, Jessica Wynilko, apologies if I mispronounced that. CrossFit athlete, gymnast, bodybuilder, the only female on the list. So, yeah, new people coming in, all under the age of 30.
All under the age of 30, and they have a new thing in NXT or the Performance Center or whatever it is that they have now. It is literally one of those things you used to get at theme parks. You must be this high to compete in the WWE. They're all like 6'3 or something like that.
They're all large.
Oh, my days. So I'm 6'3, so you're telling me there's a chance. but look, it's going to be exciting to see what they do next, and especially with, you know, it was my first chance to see the weird new NXT logo that I'd seen teased on Twitter on Raw last night. Changes are coming. Are they going to be good? I don't know, but I've got my popcorn at the ready. right, let's move on and talk finally about Sasha Banks. She's, of course, been absent for a while. She didn't wrestle at SummerSlam. She wasn't on SmackDown this week, for example. But according to PW Insider's Mike Johnson, she won't be returning this week, barring any last-minute changes either. By the sounds of things, it's not too much to worry about, because apparently the promotion hopes to have her back on the road by the 10th of September, which is, of course, when the Super SmackDown show takes place in MSG. But yeah, SmackDown just stacked with female talent right now.
It's bursting at the seams, isn't it? So, you know, if there's you can't call someone's absence due to unforeseen circumstances good. However, there are certainly worse times from the brand's perspective that this could happen. Obviously, the key is hoping that whatever's keeping Sasha out isn't too bad and that she's doing okay and she's recovering from whatever it may be. Hope to see her back on our screen soon, because that division looks kind of silly when she gets back. And there are lots of really exciting possibilities on that show.
I've worked out the thing that makes SmackDown so good is the, quote, 9 B's of SmackDown. Will I be able to remember them as I go through these?
No, but try it anyway.
Brock, yep. Bloodline, I just sort of grouped them all into it. Becky, Bianca, Banks, Baron, Big E, two more. There's one I remember definitely. Come on, help me out here. Balor. And the best one of all, Boogs! The 9 B's of SmackDown, there you have it right there. But yeah, look, Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch and a returning Sasha Banks. They shouldn't have any trouble booking till the Royal Rumble, probably now, with the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yeah, the Royal Rumble 2024.
I'll probably burn through it by next week. So there you go. Anyway, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At WhatCultureWWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with us. First question today comes from Daniel Navarro, who says, lads, after watching your Bray Wyatt podcast, thank you very much, and if you like those sorts of things, What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, it got me thinking of the talent logjam issue. Do you think that a rotating seasonal roster would be a good fix for hyping up wrestlers whilst others recover or build up anticipation?
Yeah, to an extent, in certain companies where the roster is huge, WWE obviously, AEW is kind of going that way now as well. And there is benefits to people just disappearing for a bit, right? Being off TV for a few weeks and coming back and then re-entering the program. AEW already does that to a degree, but that will be become more important as the promotion progresses. So yeah, definitely, that's kind of how like wrestling was put back in the day. Territories.
Yes.
You go to the territory, you stay for as long as you're effective, you go away for a while, you go somewhere else, and then you come back and freshen up and everything else. It prevents people getting bored of you, prevents oversaturation, everything else. So yes, it's a good idea, and I think we'll see more of that in AEW in particular. In WWE, I don't think they can help themselves, so no. Probably not over there. But
I'm going to give Andy a heart attack as I say this. I've just got to agree with what Jim Cornette says about this, and that is, how can I miss you if you won't go away? I think you're exactly right.
Sometimes he's right.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But just the fact that some people, like, they come in, they have a great title run or a title challenge or a big feud or whatever, and then it's just like, oh, we've gotten out for you, but we've got 3 hours to kill, so do you want to fight Umberto
Dana Carrillo?
Yeah, it's just like, just go away for a bit. Like Asuka, who I'll talk about in a second, I miss her on being on TV, but that's good, because for a while, it was just like, Asuka, and she was holding that Women's Championship division down, doing a great job with it all, but go away so I can miss you. Anyway, second question today comes from John Shoemaker Jr., who says, good morning, legends. If WWE was ever to make Karrion Kross a face, you'd have to be able to see his face first, of course. Do you think that could ever work or be a disaster? It can't be worse than what he's at right now.
Yeah, he's not made the best start to main roster life, has he? He doesn't strike me as a natural babyface, Karrion Kross. Like, I don't know what about his character you would latch onto as something to root behind. Like, he's not particularly like badass or imposing in the same way as a Brock, who can work as a babyface, I think, because he's so impactful and so mean with his offense. He's a guy who's quite reliant on like the pomp and circumstance and the smoke and mirrors. Nothing wrong with that. That's pro wrestling 101. That's not an insult, by the way.
Bring back Scarlett. What are you doing?
Exactly. But I don't know. There aren't really any qualities for me in his work that scream babyface. Brock as well, by the way, who's a comparison point because he's another monster,
yeah,
is a great seller as well. He's a really underrated bumper and seller, Brock Lesnar. So I don't see any of that in Kross. I think he's a much better heel, and even though they've kind of not done the best job so far.
It's the way to continue. Could hear a rat piss on Cotton.
Yeah, she could.
When Jill he came out last night. It was ridiculous. The only thing that I think could make him a good babyface is, you know, his like sleeper submission thing where he does like the fucking fresh hand next to his ear. Give him B-cubed now. So
there
he raps whilst he puts someone to sleep or something. Just a thought. It can't be any worse than Arthur Writers to give on Monday Night Raw. Jonathan Johnson, final question of the day, saying, hello, beautiful people. What do you think about maybe Asuka returning as a heel to freshen up her character?
I think it's a good idea. She's not really done that in WWE yet. She's obviously shown flashes of nastiness in certain feuds and rivalries and everything else. But yeah, why not? I mean, we've seen kind of variations on the happy, dancing, babyface person that she's kind of evolved
into. We needed that
roster
noise during the first bit of the pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. She was one of the best kind of empty arena arena era wrestlers for me because she was so vocal and everything else. But yeah, it's a good idea, and I think there's lots of exciting matchups with people on different sides of the alignment scale that we maybe haven't seen before in those roles.
Although they are rapidly running out of baby faces because they don't know how to book them. But speaking of great heels, let's move on to today's and finally and go to a man that we've gone to quite regularly recently, because there's one thing we love here at What Culture, it's boiling piss. And that's exactly what Matt Cardona does. He tweeted this overnight. I just pitched a great storyline to creative and screenshot an email he sent to Joey Janela of GCW saying, we should rename the GCW world title the GCW Universal title. Thanks for reading, Matt.
Very good.
Can I have
very
a quick look at the replies to that?
He's posted an image somewhere of this belt as well that I saw floating around.
He put it in his fridge again as well.
Yeah, he's doing all the right things, isn't he? He knows how to wind up those GCW fans. It's very funny.
Lovely
very
stuff. Good. More like of this it. Sort of thing. Let us know your thoughts on that and all of today's news stories in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Oh, we've got a busy day today.
Oh, yes.
Not only will we be reviewing Monday Night Raw because of the bloody bank holiday, we also today have to review SmackDown and Rampage and preview NXT. You're getting so much good stuff. You don't need to listen to anything else, including your other half. Let us know your thoughts, though, on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You actually can follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for H. Do you know what else you definitely don't need to listen to? Donda. It's...
Oh, I've not listened to it yet.
Do you have insomnia?
No.
Okay, it's going to cure it, even if you don't.
Right.
Sorry, Kanye. It's
oh, no, that's ruined my day. I
2 hours! It's two hours!
Get on with it, mate.
It's never not... longer better than a 3 out of 5. It's rubbish.
Okay, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.